Soul Show.
Hi, Chloe.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. I just wanted to touch base with you, really, because as many people know now, we had a touch base with George Paxton a few weeks ago now. And the reason behind these videos is to talk about athletes' journeys that aren't too old and that are still in the game. And I guess for giving people a bit of advice into what your journey looks like, why you've made the decisions that you've made along the way and what your main influences are. And I think that's really important, particularly for the younger girls, you know, seeing that if they have a knockback, that happens, and also how you bounce back from that, if you decide to bounce back from it at all. So what does lockdown look like for you? Gosh, that's a twister.
I mean, I'm kind of enjoying the rest, to be honest. Still working hard, making sure I get, obviously, a bit of ball work in there in the week, bit of running, some interval stuff, and I've actually taken up a bit of cycling. I'm really enjoying that, road cycling, getting some distance. The uni girls did a bit of a race to Croatia where we should have gone on tour. So we kind of just got on the bikes, and ever since then I've been kind of just going out cycling everywhere for like 3 hours a day. It's great.
I can't imagine you having much rest, Chloe. And I've been following you on Instagram now for a while, so I know how hard you train. And I see that you've brought your mum into it, Jane, as well. How's she finding training with you?
Yeah, she's loving it. My brother's fiance as well, Beth, she's joining in because she's keen on netball. I've kind of got her into it a little bit. So, yeah, they're loving it. I think we're all as fit as we've ever been, to be honest. Just getting out there, something to do, and keeping a routine, really. Getting up in the morning, doing a bit of a workout, and then uni work in the afternoon. So, yeah, it's working well.
And do you feel that's the key to this, particularly with yourself, is getting a bit of routine going?
Yeah, definitely. I'm crazy about routine. I don't like my life to be mixed up. I like the same routine every week, and just to get it done, and then a bit of a rest on the weekend.
So what are you missing the most?
I think the girls, the netball girls, the most. I'd say just seeing them every day. You don't realise how much you see all your netball friends, but they're actually your real life friends that you see day in, day out. So that's the thing I'm struggling with the most, I think, missing the girls like crazy.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm the same with Mags and the other coaches. It's strange how much you take for granted that contact time, and also the athletes as well. You know, they're a big part of your life, and you probably don't recognise it quite the same till you have a period like this. And thank God for social media, where we can check in and make sure everybody's good and kind of cracking on in some way or another. So, yeah. So what I was really keen to do, because I probably know quite a lot about you from maybe 15, 16, when, you know, you came to Leeds Athletic in particular, and I started to work a little bit more with, you know, the younger end of Yorkshire netball athletes. But before that, I don't really know loads about your journey and kind of how we met a little bit. So do you want to talk through kind of your netball journey today, kind of key things that happened right up until a little bit of, you know, what guided your decisions along the way, and I suppose how we met a little bit?
Yeah, so I actually started, I think I got spotted at a middle school, which not many other people have around England. So middle school, like high five, or it might have been seven aside. I don't even think I played high five competition. And it was Linda Flusky who asked me to go and join the county squad. So I was dead nervous, went along and trained with county there for a while with Linda. And then she kind of got me involved with Huddersfield Giants. So I played, I think, one season at under-14s, and then played up into under 16s with some of the girls that I play with now. So Alice Smith, Emily Hollingworth, who else played? I don't think Lydia were there at that time. So yeah, when I were a lot younger, like 15, played with them. And then I kind of got past under 16s, moved to Shipley because Giants didn't have like a high competing squad. I think it was just like Netball Knights, seniors they had. So moved to Shipley, played regional league and Northern League there. And then everyone started to leave for university. And I was kind of thinking, oh gosh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to progress to? And I think at this point I was playing at Yorkshire Jets with Jan as well. So doing that alongside. And I knew she was involved with Leeds Athletics. So I kind of rung Jan in a panic and I was like, Jan, what shall I do? Where am I going to go? What do you think about me moving to Leeds? And she said, oh yeah, definitely move to Leeds. We'll definitely have some court time for you here. And it was an awful decision because obviously I'd been with Linda from day dot. But Linda was great. She said, I knew it were coming, Chloe. You've got to move on. You've got to go and progress. So that was really nice of Linda.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I suppose back in the day, to some degree now, Huddersfield Giants and Leeds Athletic have always been known as arch rivals in terms of qualifications for regionals. It's always more or less been those two clubs, although others have progressed now and are putting pressure on that system. But yeah, you know, Linda Flusky is renowned really for spotting young talent and kind of harnessing and bringing them through. And some of the names that you've mentioned there, plus Imo, I think, came through Linda Flusky as well. So somebody that's highly regarded in Yorkshire. So how did that feel? I mean, you got the nod off Linda to make the move, but how did that feel to you personally, probably moving from a club that you were heavily kind of loyal to and respected to a club that you were, I guess, always going toe-to-toe with in competition and that arch rivalry that's, you know, so prudent in sport, isn't it?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I felt like the biggest traitor ever. I thought, oh gosh, they're all going to hate me, I'm moving to Leeds. But no, everyone was really supportive, to be fair. They knew it was the right decision. Obviously, I wanted to progress further than Northern League. And the closest club to me was Leeds Athletic, who had a Prem team. So, you know, and I'd seen that other girls had done it. So Lydia was the same. She started off at Shipley and then moved over to Leeds to get the court time higher up. So it were a bit of a no-brainer. It had to happen. But yeah, I was absolutely terrified about speaking to Linda. I made my mum come with me to go meet her for a coffee because I didn't go by myself. But she were really good. Everyone were really, really supportive. So yeah, it was quite nice, to be honest.
I kind of worked it up. Crucial as well, Claude, just on that point, because a number of players have to go through that situation. And I went through it as a player when I was younger, of having that conversation with somebody that's helped grow you as an athlete and kind of harness your love for the sport and your skill development and your understanding of the game to a point where sometimes you've got to move on to progress, to be with people that are similar in terms of how you want to progress, or the current club that you're in doesn't provide you with that next platform that you need in order to reach your potential. And that's kind of the situation you're in, is you were very loyal to a club, but unfortunately situations meant that you had to pursue another club in order to make that step to Prem. And I think that happens at all levels. And I've been on the side of it as a player where I've had to have those conversations with my coaches, but also I've been on the receiving end as a coach when a player comes to me and go, you know, it's time to move on. And I've dealt with that really well in some cases with certain athletes, but also I haven't dealt with it well with other athletes as well. And I think it depends on how long you've been on that journey with that player for. And I think sometimes it's about seeing the bigger picture, but sometimes as coaches it's really, really hard because we feel part of that athlete's journey and we still want to be a part of it, but our position in that changes. We almost become a mentor, and I think that's what's happened to me for the players that have moved on to play Super League for other teams is, thankfully, where it has gone well and I have guided them well through the process, I've become that fallback of what do you think, and do you still have that relationship with any of your previous coaches or not?
I mean,
I'm a spot here.
To be honest, I wouldn't say that I kind of, from a junior perspective, and when I were quite a lot younger, I wouldn't say I necessarily still speak to those coaches, but only because I think there's different coaches surrounding me now.
Yeah.
So now I go to them, who will give sound advice again. And I think, you know, I did it when I moved club, but also then when I was part of the MPL pathway and played with you coaches at under-19s for my final season. Well, yeah, it was you. And I kind of had to make the jump from there to Loughborough from being too old. Obviously, there were no under-21s left because Yorkshire Jets had kind of, the Super League team had gone. And there was no progression there. So I had to have the same discussion with Alex Kirk and tell her, oh God, I'm moving over to Loughborough, another rival. Again, I'm a huge traitor. But she was the same and she was really good. And I think if they were still around within Yorkshire, those are the people I'd go to definitely, like Alex. She was great. I always went to her and said, what do you think about this? And she'd just tell me straight up. She's very direct. But yeah, I think these days, obviously, being at uni, I spend a lot of time with my uni coach, Francine Hall, and then at club with you and Mags. So I'd kind of go to you guys now instead of just because of where I am, really. Yeah. Who I see on a weekly basis. But I think, you know, if Alex Kirk or... I always call her Alex Kirk, but it's Alex Young now. Sorry if she watches this. but I think definitely if she was still out and about and, you know, involved with the Yorkshire kind of programme, I'd definitely be in there and speaking to her because she was really good for me, a really good coach. I really enjoyed being an athlete for her, so yeah.
No, I mean, to be fair, George Pexton mentioned that time that you had with Alex from maybe 15 years of age through to about 17, 18 was kind of a crucial time of learning, and it was really important that you had a coach like Alex who established, you know, good basic skills in your, you know, what good work ethic looked like and set some non-negotiables. And I think as an athlete, when you're making that decision to fully commit to a performance sport or to go a different way and maybe focus on your studies, I think it really helps you decide whether this is what you really want or not. And I think any coach that guides an athlete through that period of time, you know, you do have quite fond memories of. You know, I have that with Marion Loftus, my coach, that kind of guided me through those crucial years as well. I don't think you ever forget that. So in making the move to Loughborough, you know, Yorkshire, proud Yorkshire girl, Claw, how did you find that, and what were kind of the good things about making that move, and what were the challenging things for you during that time?
I actually moved, and it was you that was our first under-21s coach. And I loved it. That season was just all about learning. I literally absorbed so much. And it wasn't really necessarily even about the court time. It was more the training, and especially training alongside the Super League girls who trained on the court next to us. It was good to see kind of a different environment. And we obviously won gold at the tournament that year, the under-21s tournament, which was mega. And just to be a part of it, I'd never really done, I think I'd only ever done one under-16s nationals before that, and that's it. That's the only tournament I'd kind of got to a good kind of place in, or a medal place in. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that season. And then the season after that, you took the Super League position at Loughborough, and it was Emily Perry that stepped in. And, you know, I don't know whether I ever told Emily this, but I really struggled the first half of the season. She asked me to be captain, so I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But I really struggled with her style. And I was thinking, gosh, why is she telling me to do this? Like, I don't understand it. I feel like it's not working, and I was getting frustrated. And my mum kept saying to me, you've got to trust what she's telling you. She won't be in that position if she wasn't a good coach. And so I trusted in it. And by the end of the season, I thought, wow, this woman really knows what she's on about. Really enjoyed the kind of second half of the season. We went to the 21s tournament, and we didn't necessarily finish where we wanted to finish, but it was a really good learning experience. And I learned so much from Emily, I can't even stress. And yeah, really enjoyed that season. And then I think the season after that, Emily left as well. I thought, oh gosh, like, I'm by myself again. But then it was the same season that I moved, I think, to uni as well. And Francine took over the Loughborough, or maybe that was last season, actually. Francine took over the Loughborough 21 squad, which captained again. And, it was really nice to have some kind of familiar face there. A familiar coach, because obviously she was my uni coach as well, so she kind of understood the kind of stress that we're going on. We've got all this uni training and MPL, but yeah, it was really nice. But I loved Loughborough. I thought it was great environment. The girls were great, and I've made some real friends from playing at Loughborough. So yeah, a big step, because I'm literally Yorkshire through and through, and I really didn't want to leave. But unfortunately, there weren't really any other option. That were kind of it, and I had to kind of just get on with it and go play the highest level that I could play, and just deal with it, and that was that. But yeah, it was a really good experience. I really enjoyed it.
And I think that's probably been the positive, is having different coaches at different points, particularly somebody like Emily, who's from a different background with Bath originally, and then done lots of work with England and through to Loughborough. It just challenges as a player to look at the game differently, because all the coaches that you've had have been Yorkshire-based coaches. So it is nice as a player to have a different influence and just kind of open your mind a little bit to what you're seeing, which is why we were so excited to get Emily on board when we did at Leeds Rhinos, and also, moving into Super League, Dan Ryan as well. We're really keen that we get coaches who can add value to our players' journey, and get them keep thinking about the game differently, and learning never stops, does it? So what I've noticed quite a bit just listening is that, and I've also I do as captain with some of the teams I've worked with, is why do you think you get put in the captaincy position? What qualities do you think you have that you bring that make you a captain or a leader, I should say, as well?
I think it's kind of, the girls know that I'm going to work hard no matter what, so there's no question in that, and I kind of just get along with everyone, and I'll drive the girls around me. So if they're not working hard enough, they'll know about it. But on the same token, if I'm not working hard enough, I want them to say to me, Chloe, that's not good enough. And I think it's kind of a bit of, a two-way thing. I'm quite good at giving a bit of stick and having a bit of fun with the girls, but I can also take it. And on the same token, when the job's not being done right, I can tell people it doesn't faze me. We're there to do a job and put out a performance half the time. So yeah, I think that's a huge thing. I think the girls that you're captain and the player with have got to respect that you're going to work hard as well, and they can kind of take it from you if they know that. If you've got a captain that's a bit bossy and don't really work hard and glides through, then I think you stand there and you're a bit like, well, don't tell me what to do when you're not doing it. But I think the girls that I've played with, well, I hope they know that I work hard and I'll do everything I can. And, you know, and then if it's not good enough, then, you know, fair enough, like, let me know, tell me, and I'll take it on the chin, and that's what we're there to do. I'm not really into drama or anything like that. I don't really have many fallouts. I just kind of glide along, keep my head down and work hard, and I think it works well. And I get along with most of the girls that I play with. Well, all of them. I've not ever had a netball fallout as such. So yeah, I think that's important.
Well, I think you do that well, Chloe, because I would agree with that. I think you're very humble in the environment you find yourself in. I think you go in, you work extremely hard, you have high standards, and you have a way of doing it and focusing on you, but also demanding it from other people without there being any friction between yourself and others. And I think that's something that if I could bottle and maybe put in myself, that would probably be one thing, is just getting that nice balance of being demanding, but also having a sense of, you know, when to leave it, or when, you know, you've done all you can and that's it, and you've got to just put it to bed and move on. And I think to have the number of friends that you do and stay away from the drama, and your mum does that very, very well as well, she's a massive supporter of you, and she's behind you 100%, but she's also behind the environments that you're in. You know, she's been on the bench at Prem, she's been the minibus driver, she's been the scorer, the timekeeper, the cook, the cleaner, all those things. And the one thing I've always found with your mum is that, you know, she keeps her opinions to herself. She's not one to go gossiping or stirring the pot with the other parents. And I don't know if you can answer this, but I just feel that, you know, I work with quite young players, and sometimes parents find it really difficult not to have an opinion or be verbal with other parents. How has your mum managed that, and what kind of, is that just your mum? Does she stay out of it, or is it something she's had to learn as she's gone along?
I mean, anyone that knows my mum, especially my brother, will back me up on this. She don't keep her nose out of stuff. she's very much got an opinion, but I will say this, and this is something that she's always said to me from since I ever started playing, and since I played for Linda. What the coach decides is what they decide. That's it. End of. And she'd whether she disagreed with it or not, and whether she told me she disagreed with it, she'd always say to me, it's tough. That's what they've decided. That's your coach and that's their decision. And I think that's really important. And I recently just started coaching the under-14s, Leeds Athletic under-14s this last season. And I were kind of trying to push. I didn't really have much communication with parents. Every parent thinks, oh, the coach don't want to talk to me. But it's not about that. It's more about getting the girls to learn how to do it. And I think from my mum kind of saying to me, it's the coach's decision and that's that. And I'd always say to her, oh, do you know, like, do you think you should speak to her? And she'd say, no, if you've got a problem, you need to go and, you know, address it with the coach, sit down and have a chat. Or if you're unsure about something, go and find out yourself. I think that probably would be my mum's biggest piece of advice if she kind of was speaking to another parent, let the girls find out for themselves. Sometimes that's the best thing. And I think quite a lot of parents get kind of, well, I know from obviously a coaching perspective, get kind of blindsided by their child. Yeah, everyone thinks their child's great. And sometimes when you put their child on court, it works so much better. But there's always a reason to why a coach does something. And I think that's really important. And definitely, as I've started coaching the past kind of season at a competitive level, it's kind of, I know it works better like that, but I need to do this because of this reason. And there's always a reason behind why a coach does something. They don't just do it because they want to be mean to you or they don't want you to get on court. And I think parents have kind of trust that. I think my mum would definitely say, my mum's advice would be, the coach's decision is the coach's decision. You can't change it. And the best thing to do if there is an issue is to get, you know, your daughter or me, well, me in my mum's case, to go and speak to my coach myself. That was that.
I think that there's a couple of really good points in there. I think that, you know, as parents, and I have three kids now, it's really important not to personalise the coach's decision. And I think that's what your mum's getting at when she's saying it's a coach's decision and that's the way it is. Whereas I've found myself on a couple of occasions, not many, I have to say, where the parent says, oh, she doesn't feel like she's getting court time because the coach doesn't like her, or, you know, that player over there is not as good as my daughter yet, she's getting more court time. And when my daughter came on the court, the team won, you know, or whatever it may be. But that's what your daughter's in the squad for, is that if there has to be a technical attack or a tactical decision, she goes on because that decision is the tactical one we needed to make, and we needed that player for that. And you know, we do nowadays like to use a squad and how important that is. But also I think it's important that parents focus the child's mind on what they can control. You know, you can't control whether the coach likes you or not. You know, and half the time the coaches aren't in that place of, well, I really like her, so I'll put her as my starting seven, and I don't really like her. I think for us, it's more it's simpler than that. If that player can, you know, in our opinion, do the job, you know, has potential in some cases, and you're weighing up these decisions, but it's less complicated than parents think. And if you work hard enough, you know, in most cases, coaches can't ignore you and your opportunity will come, and then it's what you make of that opportunity. I do feel these days that players want a lot of feedback, and sometimes it won't change. You know, and the higher you get up in your netball ladder, I mean, you'll know this better than anyone, Chloe, and the same with Natalie Aythornthwaite, is you might have that one thing that needs focus for you to develop, and you might be working on it for the next 5 years and still just be slightly better at it, because what you're trying to improve is that focus and that minimal, but will make a big difference to your game, that all your focus is on that. Whereas I think sometimes there's this feeling of overnight success. Well, I've been working on that, so this will naturally happen. And, you know, I've had to say to a couple of players in my coaching career that, you know, it doesn't matter sometimes how hard you work, especially when you get again to that level of prem and wanting to break into Super League, it may never happen. And you know, it may just be that is the level that you hit no matter how hard you work. And that is a tough message to give to people. And even at under 14s level that you're working with, that child may be the fittest, but somebody else may be better at that skill that's needed at that level. And, you know, it depends as a coach how you prioritise the squad that you want and the journey that you want those players to go on. So anyway, back to you. So we got to talking about, you know, your move to Loughborough. And I suppose you were part of the group, I guess, that I feel got hurt the most from the decision not to have Yorkshire Jets within Yorkshire anymore, because you're at that key age of looking at universities, looking at your netball decision, and I know you're netball mad. So I guess my question to you is, why did you choose Leeds Beckett? You might want to go into the course that you do. People might find that quite interesting, when you could have probably gone elsewhere, where there would have definitely been a 21s and definitely been a Super League option for you. So why did you put yourself in the position that you did?
I think, first of all, I mean, most people probably don't know, but after college, I took a gap year. So I thought, you know, I don't want to go to uni yet. I really don't know what I want to do. And there were loads of pressure from my teachers at college. You need to apply. You need to go to uni. So I just said, no, I'll apply. And I applied for sport and exercise science at Leeds Beckett. And I basically just thought, well, I enjoy PE, my A-level PE. So I kind of just went off that. It wasn't really a big decision. It was just kind of, oh, I'll do it because that's what I know kind of thing. Took a year out and worked at a retail store and just focused on netball. Absolutely loved it. Hated working, literally hated working full time. So I thought, I've got to go to uni. And I was kind of settled in the Prem squad. I was really enjoying that. I was really enjoying playing with those girls. And I'd obviously seen some of the girls. How they were kind of training with uni, and I think I came and played a couple of games for Beckett in my year out, and did like some German course or something. I really enjoyed it, and I just liked kind of the vibes that I thought, this is what I know. I'm a bit of a home bird, and I hated working. It wasn't really for the course, really. I know I shouldn't really say that, but it wasn't. I just liked how the training was intense at Beckett, and I knew some of the girls there. And yeah, I just thought, right, I'm going to go there. It's close enough to home, but not too close so I can live and do the experience. But also, if I need to, I can drive home 30 minutes and it's fine. And that's kind of my main reason, but I'd say my main reason for choosing that university was for netball. You know, they've got a good strength and conditioning team. The training routines, like I said, it's intense. And I knew that some of the girls there, so it were kind of a no-brainer. And I was close to home, so yeah.
Yeah, good. So you're coming to the end of your 3 years now.
Yeah.
So what's the journey look like now for you?
I'm literally just in the last month, we've been giving up extensions, so just in the last month of work. Again, I thought I'd got my whole path set out. I thought, oh, I'm going to go work in the family businesses. And I decided, no, I don't want to do that now. So I've actually applied to do a master's in paediatric nursing, which is really exciting. And obviously, unfortunately, it's not at Leeds Beckett, which I'm absolutely gutted about because I love the netball there. And the training's been great and everything about it's been great. But that's at Huddersfield University. And I think they've got a netball team. I'm not sure. So I might have a look into that. But mainly just enjoying playing at club again. Me and some of the other girls have been training with Dan on a Tuesday night in this kind of high performance training group. Hopefully continue on with that and just keep striving. I've never really put loads of pressure on myself to make sure I get to Super League. that's something that I really want, but I'm not going to pressure myself, and there's no rush to do that. So just keep enjoying it. That's all I want to do. That's kind of my future goals, and keep playing high performance netball. And if it comes, it comes. And if I work hard, hopefully it will come. And if it don't come, then I'll have to take it on the chin.
I think that's the main message, Chloe, is, you know, and I've spoke about this recently, is it's really important to enjoy the journey. And I think a lot of players think that it happens a certain way. You know, you go from playing, say, NPL like you have, and then under-21s, and then you just naturally then fall into a Super League team. And don't get me wrong, for some people, it may be like that. But for others, you know, sometimes, particularly in Australia, it's in your mid-20s where you're playing some of your best netball, and that's when the opportunities come. Whereas I sometimes think over in England, if players haven't made it, which is ridiculous, by the time they're 21, 22, they're hanging the trainers up and playing some local league when, you know, if you've got that in you and you want to pursue to play at the highest level, that break may come later on. So I think that's really important, that you do enjoy the netball you're playing now, because if you're enjoying that, then anything can happen. Whereas if you focus too hard on that goal up there, and for whatever reason it doesn't happen, or, you know, you could get at Super League level the best player in the world being imported into the position you play, or whatever it may be, then I think you start to get a little bit resentful, and then you start taking it out on netball as a whole, instead of just going, yeah, that's kind of the pinnacle for me. If I get to that, whether it's England, whether it is NSL, I've achieved my ultimate goal. But if not, I've just really got a lot out of playing the highest level I can, you know, prem for yourself till things change in Yorkshire with Leeds Rhinos. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. It's a tough level of competition. I think it surprised me the last 2 years how tough prem netball is. I think some of the littlies at Leeds Athletic have been surprised about how hard it is. So I think that's sound advice to anybody. So again, just kind of looking at the past 3 years that you've been at university, you've also started coaching. How did that come about, and what are you getting involved in?
So I started coaching. It was Leeds Rhinos mini netball on a Saturday morning, and I loved it. I think there were only about 6 or 7 girls in the group when we first started, and they were just ace. It was just so nice and refreshing to go on a Saturday morning and kind of just be with kids that just lived and breathed netball. And it really, really put a smile on my face every time. So that were about, 5 years ago. Well, yeah, as I kind of moved to uni.
Yeah.
And it fit perfectly. I was living in Leeds on campus in the halls of residence, and it was kind of like a 2-minute walk to mini netball on a Saturday morning, and a bit of extra money kind of for me in my first year. And then it just progressed from there. Each year I kept getting an email, do you want to do it again? I thought, oh, I can't leave it. Yeah, let's do it again. And then there was a second session added, and then a third session. So, yeah, that's how it all kind of started, just with the younger girls on a Saturday morning, just having a bit of fun, really.
And now we have waiting lists across the Leeds league. And just to kind of set a bit of a scene for everybody, is I was doing the Saturday mornings originally before you. And I used to get cold sweats. I used to be up at night worrying about what I was going to do with these like little 4 or 5 year olds. And it just didn't come naturally to me. And I remember having a conversation with a coach mentor. I won't mention his name. And he was like, yeah, you're just not hitting it here, are you? I was like, I find it really odd. I'd rather coach an England player than I would this 4 or 5 year old group of kids. And you went, and actually the daughter, his daughter was in the group, and he was like, she's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And the feedback we got were great. So basically, Chloe, you put me out of a job. We need to get
so yeah, I think it's kind of you've got to take it very lightheartedly with mini netball, and the girls just start, they're not bothered, you know, they love just going and being able to play for an hour on a Saturday morning, and what you teach them, they don't care, as long as they get to play with a netball on a Saturday morning and learn the positions and get in the positions on court. Apart from that, you know, I really don't think they're that interested. so much fun.
We have that group, and then we have probably I think year fives who have been involved since the start, who are absolutely netball fanatics. You know, they live, breathe, and drink netball to the point where they do your Saturday morning live, which we're having to do at the minute because of isolation. So yeah, I think unknowingly built up that over the years that you've started with this kind of approach that you have, where it's fun and let's just get catching, playing netball, and I think your approach is dead right, whereas I went in really kind of you know, by the end of this week they'll all know how to land correctly, and you know, and I think your approach of let's just get kids loving it and enjoying it and looking forward to coming week after week has unknowingly to you built up this love of the game that these, you know, year fives and year sixes have. And I don't know, do you recognise that yourself, that that's what you've done, or is it a little bit unbeknowing?
Yeah, maybe a bit unbeknowing. I mean, you don't think of it like that. You don't. Now I sit back and think about it, I think, actually, yeah, these girls started with me. Now, you know, there's a couple of girls that I can pick out and think, actually, yeah, they're crazy about netball and they started with me. So, yeah, it's a bit of realisation there for me, making it fun and enjoyable for them in the first couple of years when they start is really important. Because, you know, they'll learn and grow to love it. And that's a massive thing. I think our older minis, the ones that started in with me, are just mega obsessed with netball, and they just want to play as high and as much as they can, and the highest level that they can get to, and train every single day. And, you know, there's a couple of the girls that are like, oh, I've been in my garden and I've been doing burpees and I've been doing sprints, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, this 10-year-old girl's crazy. Who does that to themselves? But I think, yeah, I kind of try and incorporate some of our kind of forfeits that we get at a high level, make it fun so the girls enjoy it. So for us, you know, if my coach or if you say, oh, that's not good enough, I want 24 burpees and 24 court sprints. If I try and incorporate that young and say, oh, we're doing burpees today, hopefully by the time they get to you, they'll be saying, oh, yeah, we've got burpees to do. Great. So that's the kind of, the kind of approach that I'm taking, trying to make everything that I kind of do a little bit more fun so they kind of enjoy it. And I think some of them thrive off it. They absolutely knowing that kind of, this is what I do in my netball. This is what Chloe does in her netball training. So it's good enough for us to do it in our netball training session.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, yeah. I think it's, yeah.
So the last bit of kind of your coaching journey is the Saturday morning, since we have been on, lockdown. You've been doing about a 40-45 minute class on a Saturday morning, and the pickup's been really good. I think we had something ridiculous the first week we were discussing before we started recording, of about content and that is about 17,000, like, unbelievable. And then I think now we've got to like an audience that's stuck with us, which is on an average week through the week, that we've got about 1.5 thousand people watching or you know, liking it or whatever it may be, which is brilliant, Claire. Again, how are you finding the Saturday morning sessions? Because you've got to continuously come up with different ideas. I know this week we're doing a bit of a colourful theme. Do you want to just mention a bit more about that?
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The first week when you asked me to do it, I was absolutely bricking it. And I don't think I slept a wink Friday night before. I was thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because it's quite difficult to come up with things just in a space with a ball. Yeah. Everything that we kind of do, especially when we're at training, is either against the wall or with your partner or in a group. So the first challenge was kind of being kind of creative and having a look online and thinking, what can I do for 40 minutes? I was thinking, I can't even see these girls. What am I going to do? But it's kind of just gone from there. And I don't know. I've just got this bit of a creative flair, I think, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I've been
coming up with these different things. And I'm actually really enjoying it. It means that I've got a designated 40-45 minutes netball session in there on a Saturday morning, so it's good for me to keep practicing, and as long as the girls are getting something out of it, and even if two girls just showed up and watched on a Saturday morning, that'd be good enough for me. If we can get two girls outside doing a netball and getting some fresh air, then that's all I kind of want. I've loved every minute of it. I think it's great and I think it's a good idea. And we'll just keep it going whilst ever isolation's kind of in place, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, especially we're getting those numbers and people watching it, you know, live. I think we had 200 at one point, which is insane. I think, again, now we're getting a variety, but still, you know, mega numbers, which is brilliant. So just bringing this to a close a bit, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you feel are your three key moments in your netball journey that have led you to be the player that you are now?
Gosh. Not on the question sheet.
It wasn't, though.
I think the first key moment for me one that I always remember was first ever training with the Loughborough Super League girls. That was really key. And I think I went in there and it was Karen Atkinson and Liv that were coaching. And I don't really know why it sticks in my memory, but I do, because I was just stood there thinking, what's going on? This is mental. And that's a massive key moment. And even though I've not gone on to kind of keep training with them, it was an awesome opportunity to go in and have one or an hour and a half's feel for what it's actually like. And that was really key. And I just kind of took that with everything that I could and got the most out of it that I could. That was a really key moment for me. I think the second key moment would be probably university netball and learning how to deal with that demand, because it is a high demand, especially when you're trying to have a life and make new friends at uni and then training and trying to do uni work. That's so hard. In my first year at uni, I was just absolutely broken, like exhausted. But now I look at it and I think, gosh, if you can do that, you can pretty much do anything. And then my third moment would probably be, I think becoming a coach, and especially this last season for the under-14s, has taught me so much as an athlete and as a coach. I think sometimes as an athlete you get very kind of narrow-minded about things, but then you see it from a coach's perspective as well, and you start to realise actually that is why my coaches for the past 10 years have made all these decisions that I've probably disagreed with, and probably sat in the car to my mum and said, I don't understand why she's doing that, and I don't understand why. But I think that's been really key for me, and as a player, kind of open my eyes a little bit to what actually goes on behind the scenes and how decisions are made. So yeah, they're kind of the three key things I think throughout my netball career. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good, Chloe. Well, thank you for your time. It's been really enlightening, because there's some stuff there that I didn't quite know, and some stuff I definitely did. So it's, it's exciting times ahead, and hopefully when we can get this lockdown up, we can all start getting back to what we love, coaching and playing. So till next time, thanks, Chloe.
Thank you. The Netball Show.